You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. There you got all your week four advice in a written form with the Start sitcom that I call The Decider, and we expanded on that on yesterday's show, Matchup Focus. That's the show where we break down all the games coming up here, and Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus joins us for the five biggest games. Well, we keep that Pro Football Focus fun going on Thursdays with Tyler Lochner, and he's going to give us a little bit of a DFS slant here on the action and looking at the prices specifically on FanDuel and DraftKings. So that's what we do here on Thursdays. If you're new to the show, if you're used to the show, it's more insight here to help you try to win some money this week. And it's great to have Tyler on because we just look at things in different ways to help get you going in your GPP tournaments and cash games there for the most success. And there are a lot of good things on the board here. Very high scoring season so far, and I think that will continue here in week four for sure. So now, with Pro Football Focus, it's a great thing that we have them here as a partner on Locked On Fantasy Football. They're just so good with their in-depth analysis of things that are happening on the field. And one thing I really like on their site, and this is some good reason for you to go there and look at it and think about a subscription to Pro Football Focus, you look at their cornerback wide receiver matchups. Jeff does that a lot. Tyler looks at that closely as well. So this is important stuff that you look at week in and week out there. A good example, I think, Cooper Kupp there. So I don't look necessarily for the stud guys. They're typically going to have the advantage over a lot of their overmatched corners. But Cooper Kupp is intriguing, working against Mike Hughes tonight there for the Vikings. It's definitely the weakest corner because you have Xavier Rhodes and Trey Wayne. So they can help contain the other two guys, but Kupp is going to be a popular target there for Jared Goff. So that's how you have to look at it. And it's really good for slot guys this week for sure. That also have some lineup versatility. Cooper Kupp there, we'll talk a little bit more about Jarvis Landry with Tyler there. But Juju Smith-Schuster possibly getting Tavon Young there in the slot. So Smith-Schuster's off to a great start. So that's what you have to look at a lot, is the slot issues and how you can take advantage of those guys, because most teams are using three wide receivers as their base set, and you can't ignore that at all when you're looking at this. And a lot of guys that may not have the typical matchup are going to be a little bit better. I think you look at Larry Fitzgerald, if he can play through that hamstring. Seahawks have struggled a little bit in the slot. I know Christian Kirk is working there as well. So I think if you look at it this week, Christian Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald with Josh Rosen there, very contrarian because no one is looking at the Cardinals' offense and going that way. So that's a sneaky little thing that you can look at here, because I think there's going to be some garbage time for Rosen. I think he could throw some interceptions, be sacked here, and the Seahawks should be in control. But they want to see Rosen, so he's going to play till the end. It's not like they're all of a sudden going to pull him and put Sam Bradford back in, who's, by the way, hurt. And we'll wrap things up after Tyler's on with a look at the injuries and early practice indications here, as we do here, to get you right into the weekend and the games. But so all those things you have to factor here, injuries not only to the guys that you have, but injuries to other guys that complement them. And on the other scale of things, injuries to the defense. All these things are going to affect the matchup and the eventual production there. And Pro Football Focus, you look at it, this wide receiver cornerback matchup tool is so fantastic. I look at it every week there, and they're just going to get you good to go. I think I mentioned Antonio Callaway. People are on him with Baker Mayfield starting with the Browns. But Rashawn Melvin, you look at it, So that's what you have to look at, because the Raiders' pass defense in general is really bad. But Rashawn Melvin, highly graded, was very good last year for the Colts, one of the better signings by the Raiders. And you see that he's had an impact as well. And Xavien Howard, maybe not a guy that everyone knows as a household name, as a shutdown guy. But if Josh Gordon's going to play, Xavien Howard could contain him a little bit, because Philip Dorsett, I would expect, is going to go away from the lineup and relevance here. If Gordon plays, definitely could be a tough guy to contend with in Howard. And Howard kind of had his way with Tom Brady there in a previous meeting. So he knows the Patriots well, is going to cover and be a tough matchup for Gordon, especially if he's coming back from the hamstring and still getting work in the offense. But these are all little things you have to look at every week. And another thing about Pro Football Focus is they also have the tight end matchups as well, and that's a good thing, as because it's not as obvious the way teams use tight ends, and you have to kind of see where you can get some advantages there. You're looking for teams that are weak in safety or linebacker coverage, and one game that you have to look at this week is the Buccaneers there and Bears. I think it's a good matchup for both tight ends. I'm not crazy about O.J. Howard, only because he has a split with Cameron Brate. And maybe not as good value for you in DFS. But Trey Burton has kind of not been doing too much. Had the touchdown there against the Seahawks. But that's about it here in week two. That was his big production. So we're hoping for a little bit things better for Mitchell Trubisky going forward. But Trey Burton, the Bucs just lost Chris Conte, who just got trucked by Vance McDonald. So they've got weaker at that safety. And that's going to be a nice advantage there. Zach Ertz, I know they're working in Dallas Goedert, they're the rookie, but could be more two tight end sets. We're not completely sure Alshon Jeffrey's headed back. We'll have a report on his status a little bit later, but the Titans haven't given too much to tight ends, but I think Ertz is a good tight end that they haven't seen so far this season. And then I think another game where there's going to be some good production with two teams kind of not great at safety, the Bengals and Falcons. So Austin Hooper and Tyler Eifert, you can look at those guys as well this week. And with Rob Gronkowski, we'll talk about him a little bit more. That's going to be a great matchup there with Minkah Fitzpatrick and the Dolphins this week. And he's overdue. We need him to get going here for the Patriots. So those are just some of the examples. I look at who's the cover guy, because I learn a lot about emerging cover guys or established guys. You look at Malcolm Jenkins, Harrison Smith. These guys have been doing at a high level for a while, so you want to avoid basically the tight end that goes up against those guys for the most part. So good stuff on the way they chart it there on Pro Football Focus. And another thing I also like about the site is, in general, the player grades, and it's not, everything's not set in stone with the way the guy's playing. He could execute in a certain way. Things may not fall in his favor because of what the supporting cast is doing. But a lot of very talented players doing well early, and part of the Buccaneers' success, you look at that, is Deshaun Jackson, Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin all playing really well there for Fitzpatrick. So that's part of it. His hot start. They're all in the top five here with their hot starts for this Bucs offense. So they're really helping. And Albert Wilson, another guy that we can also look at, really with very limited snaps here, 43 as a receiver there. They said he was going to be a wild card joker for Adam Gase. He's exactly that kind of a player so far, making a lot of big plays. And I look at the Patriots, and Albert Wilson's hard. I mean, the data says you can't trust a player that doesn't get that many snaps and targets. But when he does get it, the Dolphins pick their spots very well with Wilson. And he's had two big weeks here, and I don't think you can ignore him too much in fantasy. And that's why you have to look at these charts and guys that you may not even be thinking would be fantasy options before the season. I think Tyler Boyd is a good example to pick up this week. He's playing very well for the Bengals, and It's going to continue here, even if A.J. Green is banged up. I think he should play through that groin injury, but Green is playing very well, setting up Boyd there in the slot, and having the threat of John Ross has been helpful for Boyd. John Ross isn't producing, but you have to account for Ross's speed, and Boyd has just been a machine there in the slot. Boyd reminds me a lot of Adam Thielen, in the way he broke out last year and really a couple years here for Thielen. But you always have to look for that slot guy, and you never know who's going to be that secret superstar that emerges, even if they're struggling the way that Boyd has in the past, because the light can always go on there for players. So Pro Football Focus, having Jeff and Tyler on is one thing. Checking out their site and all the stuff that they do, write-ups there, is going to help you become a better fantasy player, whether you're on year-long or DFS. And we will get more of Tyler's take here in a bit. But first, ever since I started doing this podcast here, and people can also check out my Week 4 Picks Against the Spread there to help you with this, they always ask me, who do I like to win this week? And I tell you what, you got to go for the right team, but you also have to take your wager to the right place. And there's no better place for betting online than MyBookie. They have great player perks there. They've been in this business for a long time. They have great reviews online. You can check them out there for what it's worth. And what it's worth is a lot to you, because they're offering a special deal here, a deposit bonus there, dollar for dollar, up to $1,000 if you enter the promo code Locked On. And it gets even better than that if you wait until after 7 p.m., way from where they're slammed with a lot of new bettors flooding to the site. They're going to give you a little bit of extra love as well, an extra $25 there to play. So free money is always good when you're going in and trying to win a lot more. And you get $25 if you use that promo code LOCKEDON25. So you can really make out like a bandit early, even before you make your first wager. And they have live in-game betting as well. And fantasy football is not forgotten either. You can bet on the over under of how many fantasy points will be scored in a given week by a player. So check that all out. I really like their site. It's so easy to use. And the best thing about MyBookie, you're going to have a lot of fun playing there, but when you play and you win, you're going to get paid. So MyBookie, check it out, MyBookie. That's MyBookie. Use that promo code Locked On and Locked On 25 to get that extra bonus there for depositing dollar for dollar after 7 p.m. Eastern time. When we get back, we'll have Tyler Lochner of Pro Football Focus to help us with our DFS lineups this week. Joining me now, as he always does here on Lineup Focused for some DFS insight, is Tyler Lochner of Pro Football Focus. How's it going, Tyler?
Hey, Vinny, I'm doing great. We've got a few weeks of the new season in the books, so we're starting to get a little bit of a clearer picture as to what teams are good, what teams aren't good, and everything like that. So great for finding good matchups in DFS.
Yeah, and at PFF, I'm sure it really helps to have some data to go by. And 3 weeks is a pretty good sample size, at least for now.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of, there's no set way to do this, but in my head, the 3 week period is when you can really start to look at the new season's data. And you don't ignore the previous years, but you give much more weight to the new season's worth of data.
Now, we have to start by looking at the quarterbacks, because they're always the crux of our lineup. And it feels like at this point, there's no reason to pay up for a quarterback. We've seen guys that are in the middle to lower tiers there produce consistently at a high level and get pretty good value. And one guy I'm looking at, and this I'm on the fence about him this week, especially with the Eric Ebron now banged up, as well as Jack Doyle's. Andrew Luck at 7,300 on FanDuel, 5,500 on DraftKings. Some people see him as good value. The Texans have given up numbers there. What do you think of him this week?
Yeah, Luck's definitely an interesting case. He's a slightly better value on DraftKings. He's the 14th most expensive QB on DraftKings, the 11th most expensive on FanDuel. This is for the main slate. But a couple things do check the box for this game. The Colts-Texans has the fourth highest over-under on the main slate at 47 points. And Luck is sixth in pass attempts this year, so the volume is there. But there are still concerns about his shoulder. I actually thought after week one, he seemed to look pretty good. But so far this year, his average depth of target is only 5.6, which ranks last among all quarterbacks. And he had a low average depth of target in the preseason as well. And then he didn't throw the Hail Mary at the end of the last game. So I thought that was a bit of an indictment on his arm strength. So if Eric Ebron or Jack Doyle are both play, I actually do think Luck is in my player pool for cash games, just given the matchup, and it is a home game. Luck always plays better at home. But if both of those tight ends sit, I think I'll look elsewhere.
Another place that everyone's getting excited about, not just for fantasy, but reality, the hype train has arrived with his first start here, is Baker Mayfield, and it pulls into the station, into the black hole here. 6,900 on FanDuel, 5,300 on DraftKings. Now, I'll have to say I did pick him up in a season-long league, but I'm not going to play him right away. But I think he might have some good upside here in tournaments this week.
Yeah, I could not possibly be any more on the Baker Mayfield hype train. I am so on board with Mayfield being the starting quarterback in Cleveland. They have such awesome offensive weapons, and Mayfield looked pretty awesome himself on that Thursday night debut. He completed 74% of his passes with a really healthy 8.7 yards per attempt. He's very cheap. I actually think he's in my cash pool on DraftKings, and the week four matchup against the Raiders is unimposing. I mean, Oakland has surrendered over 8.1 yards per attempt against. They don't have a pass rush, and again, Mayfield has some great weapons outside to throw to, so he's cheap, and I do like him this week.
Well, one guy that I've circled, and I think this might be the situation where I had probably my best DFS week ever a few years ago with the Saints and Giants hooking up, and Eli Manning tends to play pretty well against his hometown team. They're at home this week, coming off a very strong game against those same Texans that Andrew Luck has a good matchup against, but 7,100 on FanDuel, 5,600 on DraftKings. No Evan Ingram this week, but I really love Eli Manning at home. They're throwing downfield again. He's not getting any arm strength issues at this point. And Sterling Shepard, everything is lining up to make this a beautiful stack because you have no Ingram, you have no Patrick Robinson, PJ Williams is the other guy outside, and Cody Latimer is banged up with a knee injury. So Sterling Shepard just could be a monster here at 6,200 and 4,900 to stack these two guys together and get massive production from both.
Yeah, Shepard definitely seems a little too cheap, especially considering the Ingram news. And that Saints-Giants game a couple years ago was insane. There were like 13 passing touchdowns or something. Eli Manning has improved each week. He topped out last week with 297 yards and two touchdowns. The Saints have given up the most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks, and this game does have the second highest over-under on the slate at 50. And then to Shepard, the backup cornerback in Patrick Robinson is now hurt, so the Saints slide in. I just totally blanked on his name.
Crowley,
okay, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and start. You can just say with Shepard, yeah.
Yep. Shepard is definitely too cheap, and he gets a boost with Patrick Robinson headed to IR. Last week, the Falcons took absolute advantage of that matchup, and Calvin Ridley did most of his damage against their backups while Julio Jones was shadowed by Marshon Lattimore. Now, I also think OBJ is in stack is in play if you really want to game stack this game and go Manning, Shepard, OBJ. OBJ does need some. He's due for some positive touchdown regression. He hasn't scored yet this year despite high target volume. So this is definitely a popular game, and it will be a popular game to game stack.
Well, this guy, as we switch to running backs here and staying in the NFC East, Ezekiel Elliott, I know the numbers say it's a great, great spot to pay up for Elliott, 8,200 and 77, respectively, there on FanDuel, DraftKings. The Lions giving up a lot of rushing yards, but I think Matt Patricia is a smart guy, and he's going to say, these Cowboys receivers don't threaten me at all with Darius Biggs play Slay back there. I think he might stack the box and really take away Elliott this week.
It's kind of amazing that every team that plays the Cowboys doesn't just put like 10 people in the box and say, all right, try to beat us, because they don't have the weapons outside. It's just Elliott, and more Elliott. With that said, I do think Elliott's a little bit underpriced, and I know the Lions performed very well last week against the Patriots, but I do think part of that is because Matt Patricia literally has New England's playbook there, so he knew what they were doing. The Lions have given up the most rushing yards to opposing running backs this year at 450. Elliott leads the NFL in rushing yards, 274, so those puzzle pieces fit. And I do think he's cheap. It is a little bit of a concern that Elliott is the only player on the Dallas Cowboys offense, seemingly. I just think this is when the puzzle pieces fit like that, it's I like to attack those spots.
And, you know, if you want to go in a different direction here, and Elliott might have a medium ownership because of the matchup, I think. But one guy that might have very down ownership because he did absolutely nothing last week is Kenyon Drake. But again, kind of following what the Lions did, Adam Gase is a smart guy here as well. 6,300 on FanDuel, 5,200 DraftKings. They like to slow play games. They don't want to be out there for a ton of plays. Kenyon Drake seems like the ideal guy to get going here to keep Tom Brady off the field, and it could be majorly productive versus last week.
I definitely like Kenyon Drake as a tournament play. He might be 1 or 2% owned in large field GPPs. This Patriots-Dolphins game has a high over under of 48 on the slate, and the Patriots are 7-point home favorites, which means Drake could be out there a lot in a passing down role, especially valuable on DraftKings. We know Drake has a very high ceiling given his home run ability and his role in the passing game. I don't understand why the Dolphins keep giving Frank Gore as many touches as they do. I guess they just don't view Drake as a three down back, which would, you know, that makes sense, but I would still think that Drake would see more work. I actually think Gore out carried Drake last week, but Drake is out targeting Gore 11 to 1 through 3 weeks. And with the Dolphins expected to be trailing in this game, that could lead to a lot more work for Drake in the passing game. I am definitely not playing Drake in cash games. His floor just terrifies me. He only had 10 total yards last week, but he does have a nice ceiling. He's going to be low owned. It could be a positive game flow for him. So he checks those boxes, and he's not as cheap as I would like him to be, but he's obviously not prohibitive.
Now, a couple of cheap guys at the end. I'll give you one toss-up here, and then look at a really cheap guy that I really like. But let's start with the really cheap guy, Kerryon Johnson. Getting a lot of touches there now. I think LeGarrette Blount and Theo Riddick are just going to be guys here soon. But 5,700 on FanDuel, 4,400 on DraftKings. That seems a little underpriced to me after going over 100 yards. And this Cowboys run defense is going to be without Sean Lee this week.
Kerryon Johnson definitely looked the part last week. His rushing attempts so far this year, it went from 5 in week 1, 8 in week 2, 16 in week 3, and obviously everyone, his favorite stat of the week, first Lions running back to top 100 yards in a few years. He's averaged over 5.4 yards per carry in two straight games, and he sees a decent amount of work in the passing game. I know Theo Riddick is still there, but Kerryon Johnson, I would definitely agree with you. He's a little too cheap there. My only potential concern with this game is it might be a pace down game, and a lot of people might be on Kerryon because he's cheap and because he shined in a primetime game. So a little bit more of the public eye is on him. With that said, I do think his price is only going to go up from here. The only other potential knock on Kerryon Johnson is that the Lions have not yet had a rushing attempt at the goal line. And so we don't know if it's going to be Kerryon or LeGarrette Blount. So Blount might get those high value touches. If Kerryon gets those high value touches, he's just an absolute smash spot, but we don't know that yet.
Well, the two bargain guys are looking for same price on FanDuel, 6,400 each. Chris Carson of the Seahawks and Gio Bernard's going to get one more start there in Atlanta with Joe Mixon headed to miss another game here. But the interesting thing is Bernard, probably because of the receiving value, 6,300 on DraftKings, 4,600 for Carson there. To me, I really like Carson because you look at the Cardinals, there's a consistency there. High volume to all the running backs they faced, and the production has been there when Carson gets high volume. And we know the Seahawks just gave him 32 carries last week. So I'm leaning towards Carson actually in both formats because I think with CJ Procise hurting again, what else is new, that Carson could actually see some run in the passing game as well.
Carson, I would take over Bernard on FanDuel because they're the same price. And his workload last week was absurd. He had 32 rushing attempts. He had two catches. But like you said, with CJ Procise banged up, there might be a little bit more of a role for Carson there. And obviously Rashad Penny is struggling. So it could be some more high volume for Carson moving forward. I do like Bernard on DraftKings. I know he's, what is it, 1,700 more expensive than Carson on DraftKings, but that matchup against the Falcons is so good. They've given up the most receptions to opposing running backs in 2015, 2016, and 2017. And so far, they've given up the most receptions to running backs in 2018. We know that Geo is a pass-catching specialist, and he sees the goal line work with Joe Mixon out. So I give me Bernard on DraftKings, but give me Carson on FanDuel at that same price point.
All right, we move on to wide receivers, and I think Jarvis Landry's got to be an excellent stack as well if you're not going for that giant stack with Eli Manning. I think you have to look at Landry. He's only 7,000 on FanDuel. I think this is rather cheap, 7,400 DraftKings, and we know that's the PPR attachment there that's boosting the price. But some people look at Antonio Callaway in this game, but I'm not buying it. I think Rashawn Melvin, as your wide receiver cornerback matchup suggests, Callaway is in a hole here against Melvin. So I think a lot of it's going to be funneling inside. And I think Landry, is just a great play this week.
Yeah, and I actually don't think Landry's going to be too overly owned. I think he's a little bit too expensive for my liking, only because on DraftKings, for example, he would basically need 10 catches, 100 yards, and no touchdowns to return value. And that would be a big game. He hasn't scored a touchdown yet, although he was tackled at the 1 or 2 yard line last week. So I think it's definitely within his range of outcomes, and he should have some positive touchdown regression coming soon. He did show great rapport with Baker Mayfield in the Thursday night game. He's already been the focal point of the Browns offense, and now with Josh Gordon out, he's even more of the focal point. He saw 15 targets in week one, 15 targets again in week three, mostly with Baker Mayfield. I like Landry more on DraftKings than on FanDuel. I think that's going to be the case with me every week, but I do think he's in play in both formats, and he, like you said, is a great stack with Mayfield.
Well, now on the other side of this game, and the interesting stat so far that I've seen from the Browns, they've actually been pretty good against number two receivers, but number one receivers, so-called number ones, the guys that get the highest volume, they've struggled a little bit, and granted, some of them have been elite number one receivers they've faced so far, and Antonio Brown and Michael Thomas. Amari Cooper is not that, but he's probably going to get Denzel Ward this week, 6,600, 5,600 there. Pretty good price here for Cooper to get in there if you want him.
It's a good week to play Cooper in large field GPPs. Again, not playing him in cash just because his floor is so low, and I can't play players who have that low of a floor in cash games. But Jordy Nelson had the big week last week. Amari Cooper was given the wide receiver one treatment by the Dolphins coaching staff. They put Xavien Howard on him. Shadow coverage on 27 of 37 routes, which indicates that the coaches still view Cooper as the number one receiver. Denzel Ward, he's made some big plays. He's made some splash plays for the Browns, but he is giving up 0.38 fantasy points per route covered this year, which is the 12th most among this week's starting corners. So it's another good spot for Cooper for GPPs. Remember, he's just 1 week removed from a 10-catch, 100-yard game. So he does have that high ceiling, but he also has the low floor, which puts him firmly in the GPP category for me.
Now, two receivers that were doing nothing as young receivers, but the light has gone on. Everything has happened for them this year, and they're balling right now. Mike Williams of the Chargers getting the 49ers minus Richard Sherman, banged up secondary. They're 6,300 on FanDuel, 4,500 DraftKings. And Tyler Boyd, everyone's favorite waiver pickup of the week, he's balling out as a slot receiver there. Brian Poole, the Falcons slot corner, is banged up already with a couple injuries, so could be good for him. 5,800 on FanDuel, 4,600 on DraftKings. Now, I think I'm going to try to get both of these guys in my lineup this week. Williams for the touchdown, Boyd for potentially another big high target week.
Yeah, as you were saying that, I was thinking to myself, man, if you're going to make me choose between one of these two, I don't know if I can do it because I like them both so much. William, it's so funny, these young wide receivers have just – this has been their breakout year, like you said, but Williams has been dominating, 81 yards on 5 catches week one, a touchdown in week two, and then a big breakout game last week, 81 yards and 2 touchdowns. He has a very deep average depth of target at 15.9 and a high catch rate at 79%, and he's receiving red zone looks and end zone looks. He's able to burn people deep. Williams is in a great spot here, and the 49ers have given up 5 touchdowns to wide receivers in the past 3 weeks. And then Boyd, obviously, also in a great spot. You mentioned the injuries, and I would also add that AJ Green is banged up. I expect Green to play. He practiced in a limited fashion, but even a slightly banged up AJ Green might lead to 1 or 2 extra targets for Boyd. He has seen 18.8% of the team's target market share, which is very positive, and as you've mentioned, and everyone has seen, he's been making the most of those opportunities. And I think that both Williams and Boyd, their price has increased, but I still don't think it's increased enough.
Well, yeah, there's some great plays there at wide receiver at all price points this week. And tight end, it's one of those things. Same thing with pre-draft. You either pay up and get a big-time tight end, or you try to find that sleeper that has a matchup to exploit. And Rob Gronkowski, he's been quiet. We have to see if Josh Gordon plays to help stretch the field a little bit. But Rashad Jones is typically the guy. I think you guys have Micah Fitzpatrick there at PFF as maybe the guy that could see a lot of Gronk this week. 8,100 to 7,000 is his price. I feel like this is a total Gronk setup here back at home against the Dolphins.
Yeah, Gronk typically plays well at home against the Dolphins. And like you mentioned, he's really the only viable tight end to pay up for this week. I know Zach Ertz is kind of up there in price, but he's got the toughest tight end matchup this week against the Titans. So if you're going to pay up, you got to go with Gronk. It could be a good Gronk spot in tournaments because people might be off of New England's offense after they laid an egg last week and struggled against the Jaguars in week two. So a Brady Gronk stack against the Dolphins at home might not be as high owned as it otherwise would be. I would still expect them to have decent ownership, but maybe slightly lower than you would otherwise expect. So I do like paying up for Gronk in tournaments, but it's not something I'm going to be looking to doing in cash games because I think there are some viable cheap tight ends here.
And a good transition there to the couple cheap tight ends I'm looking at. People I think are going to be on heavily with Trey Burton looking at the numbers. They saw Monday Night Football and Vance McDonald run over Chris Conte and drop him out for the season with that play. But 5,600, 3,900 for Trey Burton. I don't completely trust him, but I think the matchup is too good to ignore. And then if I'm going to go cheaper, he's 600 less, 5,000. Austin Hooper on FanDuel and 1,000 less on DraftKings, 2,900. I think that's a great spot for Hooper because Calvin Ridley's going to draw some attention. Julio Jones is going to have some attention as well. So I think that's a better way to go. Hooper, Burton, who do you like this week based on those prices?
Oh, man, it's so hard to tell based on the prices makes it interesting. These are actually my two favorite cheap tight ends of the week. So it's funny you mentioned them. Burton, over the last 2 weeks, he's averaging about 10.9 DraftKings points per game, which on his current salary would be a return on salary of 2.8x. And you're typically looking for 3x for cash games. And he's got a great shot of exceeding that this week against the Buccaneers, who've given up the most fantasy points to tight ends, the most receptions to tight ends, the most yards to tight ends. Just it's a great matchup. And according to PFF's individual tight end matchup chart, Burton has the third best individual matchup of the week. And then Hooper, he's just been at 2,900 on DraftKings and I think 5,000 on FanDuel all year long. He's essentially guaranteed a 3-catch, 30-yard floor, which isn't amazing, but on a cheap salary like that, he's at least returning some value. And then if he catches a touchdown, which could certainly happen against the Bengals this week, who have given up the fifth most fantasy points to opposing tight ends, he'll just absolutely smash value. So if I had to choose between the two, I would probably go with Burton if I could fit him into the lineups just because the matchup against the Buccaneers is so good. But if you need that extra $1,000 to pay up at wide receiver or running back or whatever, I have no problem with Hooper in your lineup.
Well, lastly, we'll look at defense and special teams this week. I'll talk to you about one expensive option, very expensive, but hard to ignore here that it's a great spot for them. The Jaguars at 5,200 and 4,100, obviously the highest price there on the board, facing the Jets and Sam Darnold at home, by the way, so that also helps. So the Jaguars, they've been kind of due here, had to play the Patriots. The Titans game didn't return as much as it should have, so maybe they're going to be more like the week one form, but going way cheap, if I'm not going to the Jaguars, I'm looking at the Colts, and I look at the Texans making a lot of mistakes, and the Colts defense playing a little bit better than a lot of people expected, 3,600, 2,200. It's pretty much a bargain basement there if you want to get the Colts. Which way would you more lean this week?
So I got burned playing an expensive defense last week. I paid up for the Vikings. I thought that was the sharp move. And obviously, I wasn't alone there, but that burned everybody. So I'm a little leery of paying up for defense again. I know that I should pay down, and I did what I don't usually do, and I paid up last week, and it hurt me Now, with that said, that happened to a lot of people. So this could be a good week to pay up for the Jaguars. And Sam Darnold is getting a lot of praise, and he has been playing pretty well. But the Jets have still given up the fourth most fantasy points to opposing defenses this year. There's been five interceptions, three fumble recoveries, and a touchdown scored against them, and at least a pair of sacks in every game. So this will be a very profitable game for the Jaguars defense at home against the Jets and rookie cornerback Sam Darnold there. Now, if I had to choose between the two, I probably will be paying down this week, and the Colts are my favorite cheap defense of the week. Like you mentioned, their defense is definitely better than people expected this year, and they haven't played. It's not like they've played terrible offenses, and they're giving up fewer than 20 points per game. They have 10 sacks in three games with five forced turnovers. And this is the key here. Deshaun Watson is under pressure on 49.2% of his dropbacks, which is the most among all starting cornerbacks. And that's a holdover from last year when Watson was the most pressured quarterback on a per dropback basis as well. So the Texans offensive line gives up a lot of pressure, and the Colts have been generating pressure, which is always a recipe for a big play for the defense.
All right. There you have it on the DFS position by position outlook this week on both FanDuel and DraftKings. Tyler, thanks again for joining us. And you'll do that every week. And what are you working on this week to close it out?
So today I've got my DraftKings cash guide coming out, and I've already released my trade value chart for those of you in season long leagues. Gets a little bit of a sense of who's rising and falling in DFS as well. And then on Saturday morning, I've got my DFS locks of the week, which is a free article. You don't need a PFF subscription to read my DFS locks of the week on Saturday.
All right. Check all that out and get your lineups in and win some money. And we'll see you next week, Tyler.
Thanks. Good luck, everybody.
Thanks again to Tyler for joining us and giving us some good insight on the DFS slates for this week. A lot of good action out there for sure. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, I love having PFF a part of this. The Locked On Network here to help us with our NFL and fantasy football insight there through all our podcasts. And I'm also pleased to announce we have college podcasts as well that you should check out. Now, we're on campus with the hottest teams there in college football, whether it's the SEC or Big 12 or Big 10. We've got you covered here. We go out to the Pac-12 as well. So Oregon, BYU, Kentucky, Penn State, Ohio State playing a big game this week. So it's a good time to jump into those podcasts and check out what's been going on with that team. So we've launched those recently, and check them out for sure. And I can't recommend listening to all the great NFL shows on this network as well. Matt Williamson with the flagship show as well. Also is upgraded to Experts Edition with help from PFF as well. So great, great sister shows on the network, and check it out. And we'll close the show here in a minute with a look at your early week four injury reports. So we got to get you out of here and get you ready for week four, the weekend, and things you have to look at from an injury perspective here. And we have to start at quarterback. Aaron Rodgers, they're managing his reps there with a knee injury. He doesn't look totally good to go, but I think this could be a nice rebound week against Buffalo. They're going to keep their eyes and ears perked after the Bills went in and beat the Vikings last week. So I think Rodgers will play pretty well. I think he's got a pretty decent floor this week, about 250 yards and two touchdowns. Andrew Luck, we talked about him a lot there. He's got a groin injury, so nothing to do with his arm or shoulder, and Houston could be a pretty decent matchup for him if some guys can play there for him and help him out and produce. Now, Ryan Tannehill, another good sleeper this week. You don't know who's among his receivers is going to produce there, but he's got the right shoulder, but he's good to go. Looks like Devonta Freeman is headed to missing another game with a knee injury. So Tevin Coleman, Ito Smith, a lot of them going, but Ito Smith was limited, so that could help Coleman get a few more touches here this week. LeSean McCoy is expected to return with a rib injury, getting limited practice, but you never know. It's a tricky injury. Had to be scratched late against the Vikings. Chris Ivory had a good game, so I think you can't ignore Chris Ivory looking pretty good last week in a tough matchup, and the Packers do give up a chunk yards per carry there, so definitely something to watch. Joe Mixon's not going to play again. Gio Bernard is an easy lock-in play against the Falcons this week. Marlon Mack, limited. We're not sure if he can return. The foot injury's gone from the injury report, but the hamstring is still an issue. I still think this is a backfield slowly but surely going towards Nyheim Hines, one rookie over the other, Jordan Wilkins. Leonard Fournette, this is a guy we've been waiting for since pretty much the first half of the first game against the Giants. Has a hamstring injury. They're going to have to, I think, play him this week. He's trending towards return with a limited practice. T.J. Yeldon didn't practice, and he had to carry a load there with an injury because Fournette couldn't play last week. So I think Fournette, you might see him out there against the Jets this week. You look at Alvin Kamara, there was a little bit of a knee issue, but he should be totally fine for the Giants. You're rolling him out there. Marshawn Lynch is playing through a shoulder injury and can really do well against the Browns, a vulnerable run defense that looked bad against Isaiah Crowell in the red zone last week. We're not sure about the Eagles. J.J. and Darren Sproles, Doug Peterson's been going back and forth on them with the back and hamstring. It's a tough matchup overall. The Titans have been very good against the running back. So Corey Clement and Wendell Smallwood, I wouldn't expect as much as you got from them last week. Matt Breida did play through the game against the Chiefs with a knee injury, but he's supposed to play against the Chargers. Could be a lot of dump-offs for Breida in that game. Chris Carson is a great start this week. He has got a hip injury, but fully expected to carry the load. They don't really want to play Rashad Penny much. And side note, C.J. Procise with an abdomen. What's new? He's hurt again, and that could definitely affect the touches for Carson, especially in passing game work. I mentioned Fitzgerald at the top of the show with a hamstring. He should be okay. They've got to manage him as an older player. Julio Jones, the calf, we're not sure if that affected him too much. He still had over 90 yards while Calvin Ridley had the monster game there against the Saints, but they're playing the Bengals this week. He should be in there and have a good chance to have a rebound here, as more attention is bound to go to Ridley. John Brown, there was a little bit of mystery about his absence from practice there, but he'll be good to go on Sunday night. They were just resting him a little bit to giving him a breather in practice early in the week. You look at Anthony Miller, I don't think he's going to play. He's got a shoulder injury. They didn't sound very optimistic there. He's not doing much anywhere for the Bears, so move on from there. But maybe some uptick in targets for Allen Robinson. Jarvis Landry's got a knee, but he's good, and it's a great matchup there against Oakland. Cole Beasley, you're not using him, but he's available. He's going to play against the Lions there if the Cowboys need him. DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller, more of the same injury stuff, but they're good, and they're locked in with Deshaun Watson there to produce. Josh Gordon, we're going to have to wait and see there. At least it's a 1 p.m. game this week, so you can get ahead of it and know right away he's not playing and find alternatives there. And if you were smart, played it the smart way and went with the other way before Sunday night, you looked good last week. Saints' Cameron Meredith and Ted Ginn both have knee issues, but they're going to be in there. Michael Thomas is the beast, but the secondary could be without Eli Apple. So Janoris Jenkins, you figure, is going to be trying to help contain Michael Thomas. So some opportunity there. We just don't know which one of these guys to trust. Cody Latimer didn't practice ahead of that same game because you have to look there for sure at the situation. And with Latimer, if he doesn't play, you'll see Sterling Shepard line up outside. That's great, because either way, if he's outside as the number two away from Marshawn Lattimore or the slot, that's a great, great sign there. Alshon Jeffrey, we have to wait and see. He's working in practice fully. He's cleared. We'll have to see if they activate him. I think they will, if at all possible, because they really need some wide receiver help in that Tennessee matchup. I wouldn't be too crazy about the expectations there early. I need to see. Juju Smith-Schuster had an abdomen issue. Kind of got beat up a little bit in that Bucs game Monday night. So he is going to be fine for the Ravens. Marquise Goodwin's going to play. Looks like got a limited practice here. I just don't trust him with C.J. Beathard taking over at quarterback. And Doug Baldwin, this was an interesting development there late on Wednesday, that Pete Carroll hinted there's some chance that he could play with that knee injury. He's missed a few games, but Baldwin's an older guy, staying in good shape here. So I could really see Baldwin playing there against the Cardinals, and it's a pretty good matchup because he can work inside in the slot away from Patrick Peterson. I think that definitely downgrades the upside of Tyler Lockett if Baldwin is able to go, and it's a later game, so we won't know if Baldwin's active. Probably a game-time decision there all the way till the end. You look at Hayden Hurst, just a note here, and maybe as a stash if you're hurting a tight end. It's pretty wasteland. The Ravens have thrown to the tight end a lot, namely the other rookie, Mark Andrews. But he's got limited practice, so it's getting closer and closer. We'll see Hayden Hurst out there. He was very good in the preseason. He's going to be a key part of this offense. Very good blocker, older guy that can understand the offense. So Hayden Hurst, we're looking at for sure. Tyler Eifert, it's good news for him because he's playing in full now in practice. And the back injury, less and less of a concern as he's getting more and more snaps there. Jimmy Graham, again, I think it's more of a veteran rest day with him with the knee. He's an old guy, slow guy, but he's actually produced more than I thought, even without the touchdowns. Maybe he'll get one this week against the Bills. Now, the Colts situation is a bit of a concern here. Jack Doyle doesn't look like he's going to play with a hip injury. Already missed last week. Eric Ebron, he's really banged up in that bad weather game in Philadelphia. He got a bunch of targets, took a lot of hits. Shoulder knee issues, so we'll have to monitor that one closely. It's a good matchup this week against the Texans, so if he can't go, we have to watch. Rob Gronkowski, limited there with an ankle, but we have to watch. It's the Patriots, so you never know with their injuries how severe something is, so we have to keep an eye on that, but I would expect Gronk to play at this point. Evan Ingram is not playing against the Saints this week. You can bank on it. He's got the knee issue. He's probably going to miss a couple weeks, so make contingency plans. And really, Ingram has had one nice game against the Cowboys where he kind of ran wide open and scored a touchdown, but kind of disappointing here, and we knew this could be the case with Shepard and Beckham returning healthy. So if you need to drop them, it's a bye week, you need some help, I think you can look at that. But if you're in a maybe in a deeper league, you hold on to Ingram there. But if you're a shallow, I think it's safe to drop. And Neil Sterling, the Jets tight end, not that he's a big part of the offense, but he can affect them a little bit in the blocking. He is out probably with the concussion here for a second consecutive week, and a little concerning there for Sterling's health. Now, the one kicking note, and Ryan Succop has been a pretty big-time guy for fantasy players, especially the Titans, not doing much in the red zone now, but it's not looking good with him with a left knee injury there. So kickers are people too, and kickers are in our fantasy lineup there every week. And so don't get caught playing a zero kicker. I think some people may have missed the Greg Zuerlein injury, or you know how you suffer through that. And Dan Bailey did play the entire game for the Vikings but didn't have a point there. So you can't always just plug in a kicker and go pay attention to these things and make that move, because it could be a nice source of 10 to 12 points for you every week that can really help you. So pay attention to that. And pay attention to all the injuries here every week to help you with the best possible decisions there. So there you have it. That's putting a bow on all the week four analysis you need to know, with matchup focus, lineup focus, getting you ready to go and hopefully win big, both in year-long and DFS this week. For my guests this week, Tom Kesnick, Eric Edholm, Jeff Ratcliffe, and Tyler Lochner, this has been Vidi Iyer for Locked On Fantasy Football. We'll see you Monday. Good luck in all your matchups.